All right. Well, I've kind of wrestled back and forth what we're going to talk about today. And so we're going to be actually switching gears a little bit. If you wouldn't mind turning to Luke chapter 10. And we're going to be in 10:38. I promise it won't be too long for you guys, but it is worth our time to be hanging out in the New Testament. And so Luke chapter 8, or what? Luke chapter 10. Sorry, I was like, what in the world? Luke chapter 10, we're going to be in verses 38 all the way until 42. So pretty short today. And we're going to be talking about Mary and Martha. And before we kind of get into that part, I'm going to go ahead and read some context for you guys as we get into Mary and Martha. So Luke chapter 10, verse 38, that we're going to be in, that's at the end of the chapter. And like I've said throughout this entire weekend, it's really important for you to understand the context of Scripture, not just jump into a story. This would be like you going into a Netflix TV show and watching, for a 10-episode series, watching episode 9. It really doesn't make any sense. And so it's really important for us to understand the context. Luke chapter 10 opens with Jesus sending out 72 disciples in pairs to go and spread the gospel. He gives them clear instructions about what to bring and what to do. They later return rejoicing in the work they have done, that even the demons were subject to them in Jesus' name. That's Luke 10:18. Jesus tells them in verse 20, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Jesus makes the point that the greater thing is the gospel. While their work is important, Jesus shared in their joy, but he reminded them to rejoice not mainly because of what they did, but because of the grace they have received and did not earn or work for. To rejoice because they would be in heaven with God the Father. And then in Luke 10:25, Jesus shares the story of the Good Samaritan, which highlighted the importance of loving one's neighbor as evidence of loving God, which then leads us into Luke 10:38, where two sisters, Mary and Martha, will show us again how the most important thing is our relationship with God and being with him. And so let's go ahead and read Mary and Martha's account here. So verse 38, it picks up and says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" So the characters you see here are obviously Jesus, and then Mary, and then Martha. And it's only 5 verses this morning, but just like anything we receive from Christ, it's sufficient and yet more than enough. There's so much right here. Right off the bat, we can see a repeating theme that while our works matter, nothing matters more than just being with God. And while we are going to unpack these 5 verses, there's 3 main points. So if you're taking notes, I'm just going to say these 3 main points now. That way, if the Holy Spirit calls your mind to go somewhere else instead of here presently, you at least have what the main point of today's message is. So the first one is just in our lives, there are many important things, but only one thing is necessary, and that's communion with God. That's the most important thing. I would argue the most thing that's necessary. The second thing, we cannot put our work before our worship. We can't be so busy doing things for God that we forget to be with God. And then the last thing is that we have a God who is personal and intimately cares for us. So those 3 things, again, are just in our lives. There's many important things, but the only one thing is necessary. That's communion with God. So communion with God is the only thing that's necessary. The second thing is we just cannot put our work before our worship. So we don't want to be so busy doing things for God, we forget to be with God. And the last one is that we have a God who is personal and intimately cares for us. And you're going to see that throughout our time together. And these 3 things are being played out between the exchange of the 2 sisters. So in verse 38, it says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." A couple things. If you're, again, remember when I said when you read scripture, it needs to be active. It can't be a passive experience. Even when you're sitting here, it really shouldn't be a passive experience of passive listening. It has to be active. So as they went on their way, it's important for you to figure out, well, who is they and what way are they going? Like, that's very important. And so the village Jesus is entering along with his disciples is in Bethany. And so we know that from the Gospel of John that Martha, Mary, and their brother Lazarus live in Bethany. According to John 11:18, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Additionally, John 11 makes it very clear that they are loved by Jesus and that all three of them are they deeply love Jesus as well. So there's a beautiful relationship between this family and Jesus. And Mary and Martha are seen throughout the Gospels with Jesus. And the last thing, whether or not Jesus let Martha know ahead of time that he was coming, we actually don't know that. And if he did, I'm not sure how much notice. I don't know how that worked, you know, how they sent notice ahead of time. No idea. But what we do know is that Martha welcomed Jesus into her house along with his disciples. And so this word welcome has the idea of receiving a guest into one's home and taking care of them. And it's not just a friendly greeting. The idea of welcoming guests and entertaining guests is to show hospitality. And that really depends on how you grew up, what hospitality is defined for you. In the East, hospitality is a big deal. When you invite people into your home, you treat them like royalty. I remember going into Morocco, into this village, and they say that guests eat like kings. They say they eat like peasants when guests are around. So it's this idea of just massive hospitality. In your home, it might look different. I remember my family's half Hawaiian, half Japanese. In some ways, my dad's house, as a guest, you didn't lift a finger. In my mom's house, she would just say, "You're family, so grab a cup out of the cupboard yourself." And so hospitality just looks really different depending on where you come from. But for biblical times, inviting someone into your home was of high value. It was considered an honor. Hosts were expected to provide food, rest, and comfort for their visitors. So Martha and Mary had a lot to do. And let's just be real. If Jesus was coming into your home, I'm not sure. I would be very much pressured. Like, I might go out to Target and buy new things. I would like to impress Jesus. I don't know about you guys. Maybe you're fine with just Jesus walking to your house. I might hire cleaners to clean my own house because I feel like me cleaning my house. I might even just get a new house and just be like, you know what? I'm going to borrow my friend's house because it's prettier than mine. When I walk through this, there's some moments when I just don't blame necessarily the sisters that's having this exchange. Or Martha, really. So anyways, Jesus is coming. The Savior of the world is sitting in her living room. And let's look at what Mary is doing. So verse 39, Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. This was unheard of during this time. To sit at someone's feet would be something that students would do when they're like essentially in apprenticeship with a rabbi. And that role was traditionally reserved for men. And so here Mary is sitting as a student, learning about God's kingdom and the good news. Mary didn't allow her culture or her traditions to get in the way of her pursuit of Christ. For Mary, the Messiah was sitting in her living room. And so in some sense, it looks like this. And I'm not going to be the picture of Jesus, but just imagine that Jesus is sitting in the room and we're all sitting and listening to him. And Mary is like, I know there's a lot of things that I should be doing. I know there's a lot of expectations that culture says I should be doing, but this is the most important thing in the room. And so Mary sits there. And I think that's beautiful. And I just sometimes in some ways I'm jealous of Mary. Mary got to learn from the living word. There's a really sweet coffee shop in Clovis area, Fresno, just down the hill. It's called Cup of Joy, and I really love it. It's whatever. The name of it doesn't mean anything, but it's just a really sweet place I go to very often. And when I was reading the scripture preparing for today, I just had tears welling up in my eyes when I was reading what Mary was doing. Because, what was that like for Mary to sit at the feet of Jesus? It felt like it was just like a pause in the mundane for her. Like, to enjoy this space of rest. Holy ground. To soak in the presence of the one the scriptures call the Prince of Peace. I wasn't even two verses into the story. and the Holy Spirit in his kindness gently was just getting my own attention. When was the last time I just sat in God's presence and not do anything? When was the last time my sole attention was just on Christ? So while Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, what is Martha doing? Martha's doing what I would be doing. But Martha, verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Jesus and said to him, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Nice. So like, again, Martha's me. I'm just going to stay in my own circle. I am Martha in this moment. I vividly remember doing this. This is not one of my proudest moments. The year, I wrote this down, the year, 2013, we had a leader Christmas party. And everything was done. We're all done with the party. And people are hanging out. We're having a great time in community. And at this time, I'm the junior high pastor. And I am huffing and puffing, like passive-aggressively huffing and puffing. I'm being very dramatic. I'm making loud noises and putting things away as if to signal to everybody it's time to go. And I'm sure, I'm like, in some ways, I don't know if you may have experienced this in your own household, I'm like mimicking my mom after a Thanksgiving meal where she's cooked and now she's wanting everyone else to clean. And she's like signaling everyone to do the thing as well. And I remember going up to my best friend, his name's Chase, and I remember going in the most sarcastic and mean way possible. I said, like, are you just gonna like help me or are you just gonna talk all night? And remember, the whole point of this party was to celebrate them for their time in youth ministry and the hours they have served and poured into students and pointed people to Christ and the time and sacrifice they have done. We have created this Christmas party for them, and then at the end I was just like, we have much to do. And in that one sentence, I, just like Martha, broke several of these universal but not plainly stated rules of hospitality. I'm causing a scene, I'm embarrassing my friend in front of others, and I'm also asking my friend, who is there to be celebrated, to do something else. In some ways, that is what Martha does with Jesus. And I'd argue that the thing that causes my heart to break is that Martha forgot to be present with her guest. She forgot to be present with Jesus. It says that she was distracted with much serving, and I get it. I really do. Even the way I'm wired, even last night, I'm trying to go to sleep. I got this part pretty much prepped for and ready to go, and I'm thinking about all the things I have, like the meeting I have at 1:45 today, and I just could not go to sleep. I was distracted about all the things, and these are all great things, all the things that I feel like the Lord has for us to do. And the to-do list is very long, and for me, I put my head down. I just want to get it done, and sometimes I forget the very people I'm trying to serve. I don't know how many people may be married in this room, but I remember me and Cassie's wedding day, speaking of preparing for guests, we had so much to do, and the wedding day was a combo of getting married, making sure everything was getting accomplished. I don't think we ate. I even think at the dinner, we had two bites for photos, and then people started coming up to take photos to leave, and I remember I was making sure my family knew where things were. Or people were asking me questions, so they didn't bother Cassie. And there were so moments that we were so focused on putting the party on that I forgot the guests in the room, and I even forgot the whole point of us having the party in the first place. And so the call out to Jesus is very interesting to me. One, it speaks to the closeness that Jesus has with Martha, to feel comfortable to speak to the Messiah like that, I'm not sure I would do. Jesus sitting there, and then you go up to Jesus and say, make her do something. I just don't know. I don't know if I have the audacity to do that to Jesus. I really don't. I think on a bad day, I might feel like I do, but I really don't. But it speaks to the closeness that Martha has with Jesus. And two, it's what she says. She says, if you think about it, she says, Lord, do you not care? She says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her then to help me. And this is what I hear when I hear that, because it's really important. If you're doing ministry or even when you're just in relation with people, it's never what they're actually saying. It's what they're saying underneath it that matters. And so this is what I hear when I hear Martha say those things. Jesus, do you see me? You see all the work that I'm doing for you? Jesus, if you care that I am doing this alone, wouldn't you send help? Jesus, do you care? Because if you did, you'd do something. And I think sometimes these are questions we have for Jesus in our moments of stress. Martha is overwhelmed. Some of your translations, if you're actually, if you got your Bible in front of you, it says, it might say that Martha was cumbered with much serving. The Greek has this idea of your mind being pulled 1,000 different directions. And I think that word picture helps us understand just how Martha got to that point where she ran into the living room and essentially caused a scene with Jesus. Moments of being overwhelmed, when the calendar is how I view my week, it's so easy for me to lose my perspective. Martha's serving has become a burden, and something that once gave her joy is now the source of worry. But I love this part. Look at how Jesus responds, verse 41. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So if I was Martha, that's not the answer I wanted. Just being really honest, it's not the answer I was hoping for. It's not what I'm looking for. I think even in my own prayer life, when I'm pleading to Jesus, sometimes he gives me the answer that I'm not looking for, but it's the answer I need. And we can't read tone here, but when Jesus says Martha's name twice, and reading the rest of what he says, I can't help but just really conclude that that's a gentle and tender tone. Jesus recognizes where Martha's at, but he doesn't dismiss how she's feeling, but in love tells her the truth, that Mary's doing the better thing. Mary's exactly where she's supposed to be. Martha put her work before her worship. She got so busy doing things for Jesus that she forgot to be with him. And I'll be really honest, it's really easy for us to read this text and point our fingers at Martha, but it's really important that I say that receiving guests and serving them, remember, that was a very important theme in the Gospel of Luke. And here we see Martha doing just that. She is hosting and serving in imitation to Jesus, who came to serve. Martha was doing what was required by the needs of her guests. She was preparing with all the trouble she was taking, something for the disciples, for Jesus himself to eat and drink in her house. So you have to be very careful. You can't conclude that what she was doing was bad. What she was doing was good. But in all that good, she got distracted away from Jesus. Serving became the ultimate thing, while for Mary, Jesus was the ultimate thing. So the tension of us trying to make sure our work should not become our ultimate thing is really difficult to navigate today. Would you say yes? Yeah. Our performance is really of high value in our culture. I already talked about this before, but we really have a very unhealthy view of rest. We desire it.
I think it's a really great surrender perspective to know that the outpour of our hands is ultimately. So, if anything, it's more of that our lives should be greater than our lives. I say that because if you've been a Christian for a really long time,
your identity becomes your work, and then you forget. The whole point, the whole thing was just for Jesus in the first place. And what's it like to be with him first? It would be amiss for me if you guys all went home and you guys just found better ways to be better Christians at home and just not recognizing that the whole thing comes from just sitting with Jesus more. And we don't want you guys to become professional Christians. We want you to be authentic followers of Jesus. And that means we need to remember our place. When Jesus is sitting in our living room, what are we doing? What does that look like? And so I don't know what you've left on your way here, and I don't know what you're returning back to. But my encouragement for you is that you don't confuse the work of your hands with your identity, but that you recognize that your identity is in Christ himself. And would you not pass the chance over to sit with him versus to work for him? So let me pray for us. And then that will end our time today. And I'm not sure what the guys have after it for us, but just an encouragement for you to just sit at Jesus' feet. God, I pray for me and my friends. Lord, we recognize, God, that we have a desire to worship you and to please you and to honor you. And these are good desires, and Lord. And I just pray, Father, that me and my friends would never misplace that. As the most important thing, but rather the most important thing, God, is for us to sit with you, to be with you, to learn from you, God, that your presence and our relationship with you matters more than anything else. If we lost everything but you, God, that would still be more than enough. So, Lord, I pray for me and my friends as they head back into their own worlds. Lord, would you continue to remind them that just like the gardener, you are close to them, Lord. God, I pray, Father, that they would constantly rely on you more and more and less on themselves. Recognizing that you are king, God, you're sovereign, and that you love them more than anything in this world. Thank you for your grace, and thank you for this time. Lord, we love you. Pressing your son's name, we said. Amen.